T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
2 hours away from the NFC Championship game at Lincoln Financial Field to discuss, we go to our ace, Sheil Kapadia of The Ringer, and he joins us right now. Sheil, Sheil's got a sponsorship now, Jack Fritz?
I know, big game Sheil Kapadia, as they call him.
Well, there you go. He's brought to us by Miller Lite Ticket Giveaway. Joins James Seltzer, Elliot Shore Parks, and Brent Celek at McSorley's in Ardmore. That's tomorrow night. For a chance to win tickets to Sunday's game, celebrate responsibly as Sheil joins us right now. What's up, Sheil?
I mean, Jack didn't tell me that. Now, next time I see him, he owes me a couple Miller Lights. That's what I took from that.
We actually have a couple cases of them here at the building, so I'll bring you some, Sheil.
There you go.
All right, so, like, last week, I started the week off talking myself into this could be an upset, and then by the end of the week, I was like, yeah, the Eagles are probably going to win this game. This week, like, by Thursday, I'm really anxious for this game, and I'm wondering how you're feeling about it from an Eagles perspective.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I don't remember a time where, like, the Eagles fans in my life, whether it's text threads or whoever you're talking to, were this confident about the team going into a big game. I don't know if that's a good thing, if that's a bad thing, but for a long time there, you know, there would be kind of that sense of dread. You'd be thinking worst-case scenario. I don't know if that Super Bowl win in 2017 changed everything. I don't know if it's a matter of you just watch this team all year long and they're freaking 15-1 when Jalen Hurts was the starter. I mean, every right. time a team kind of threw something at them, they had an answer. So those factors, being at home, going against a rookie quarterback. Listen, in August, if I would have told you you got to beat Brock Purdy at home to get to the Super Bowl, you're saying, where do I sign up? So I understand where the confidence is coming from.
Yeah, what'd you think of Jalen's play last week? How'd you think he looked? He was the question mark going into the game versus the Giants, what he would look like. What did you think?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's underrated about Hurst is, like, he understands exactly what the moment calls for, what the situation is. You know, sometimes, like, Josh Allen, he plays a week 3 game when they're up 20 points, like it's the Super Bowl, and he's hurtling over guys, and you're going, man, he might get injured. It's a long season. And so that stood out to me with Hurts. Like, I think it was the second possession, they're running a little zone read with him, and he keeps the ball. There was a 3rd-and-3 where it was a designed run with him, but he gets out of bounds. And then just that deep ball early on to Devontae Smith. I mean, Jalen Hurts has thrown such a good deep ball all season long, and that's really been a huge factor with the offense. So I wouldn't, you know, tell you that, yeah, I thought he was absolutely 100% and exactly the same guy he's been all season, because that wasn't really what the situation called for. You know, we didn't really get those moments because it was a blowout at halftime. But at the same time, the game plan, they were using his leg. They were using the option runs. They ran a QB sneak, and I thought the arm looked good. So I think it was all encouraging signs for this weekend and potentially the Super Bowl.
The coaching matchup is going to be more important and bigger than a lot of people think. How do you see this shaping out? I mean, from Kyle Shanahan going up against Jonathan Gannon to Steichen going up against D'Amico Ryans. I think there's a great chess match going up on both sides of the ball. How do you think the coaching matchup shapes out?
No doubt about it. I mean, just starting with Shanahan versus Gannon, I mean, listen, Shanahan has gotten the better of most defensive coordinators he's faced to get to the NFC Championship 3 times in 4 years, twice with Garoppolo, 1 with Purdy. And by the way, it's not like the offense isn't doing anything in this game, in these games. The offense has been very efficient. So he's a very good game planner. He's a very good schemer. I will say this. The one thing about Shanahan is he tends to get very, very conservative kind of the bigger the game, you know. So if you're looking at something like a fourth and one in the red zone, like his inclination is just to say, hey, take the points,
take the points.
Move on.
Yep.
We don't need to win the game here. We know that's not Nick Sirianni's MO. You know, he's been very aggressive this season, and, you know, it's worked in the Eagles' favor. So that's like a huge storyline to me in this game, is kind of that in-game management. I mean, you even saw it in the end of the first half last week. The Niners, yeah, they get the ball with a lot of time on the clock, a lot of timeouts, and he's running the ball a couple times. Eventually, they get a field goal, but he wasn't one of those guys who is going to keep his foot on the gas. So I think that's certainly something to keep an eye on. And, you know, DeMeco Ryans has done a fantastic job. I mean, they've got players on defense. There's no doubt about it. But I think over the last 2 years, they've kind of overachieved even the talent that they have there. I mean, they had a lot of injuries last year, and they still were a top-five defense. They've been a top-five defense this year. So, yeah, they're absolutely a very well-coached team.
Shil Kapadia of The Ringer, what do they ask Brock Purdy to do? Because just like you had said in your first answer, I think a lot of people are waiting for that bubble to burst, and what better or what more place to make sense than on the road NFC Championship game. He really had, I mean, most of his games in the regular season had been at home, so he's not going to see an atmosphere. He's not going to see a team as good as the team they're playing on Sunday in the Eagles. But, like, what do they generally ask him to do, and how much does he need to do to win this game?
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan, if you told him, hey, you can use kind of a joystick or a remote control and operate the quarterback the entire game to do exactly what you want to do, he would love that. That's like his ideal. You know, some coaches say, let the players, you know, do it. You got to trust them. That's not Kyle Shanahan. He wants the ball to go to the right place where the play is designed to go every time. And so they work the middle of the field really relentlessly with guys like Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle. Like, that's where they want to throw the football, is between the numbers, not outside the numbers. And so I think if you're the Eagles defense, you have to come up with ways schematically to say, no, we're not just giving you those easy throws over the middle of the field. We're forcing you to the outside. Now, the one difference between Purdy and Garoppolo, or the main difference in my opinion, is that Purdy will try to make those second reaction plays where, hey, it's not there right away. I'm going to scramble a little bit. I'm going to buy time. I'm going to make a play. And he's had a lot of success with that. But if you watch all of them, there are also plays where you're going, man, he just got away from that sack, or he just threw the ball away at the right time. So to me, that is a huge key. When you take away kind of his initial read, his a couple reads, the pressure gets there, he starts scrambling. Is that going to turn into a sack, fumble, or a turnover, or a negative play? Or is that going to turn into like a George Kittle 30-yard completion like we saw last week? That to me is really a big key in this game.
He almost held on to the ball too long last week before the half, right? Was that last week or the week before?
Oh, yeah. He walks a fine line. There was 1 second on that clock, maybe the clock operator. You got some home cooking.
That was
there.
Definitely
maybe
home cooking.
No doubt about it. Like, you watch some of them, and then you go, wait a minute, how has he not turned the ball over? Because you're watching the games going, there are opportunities there. So you got to capitalize on those opportunities.
Yeah, and I brought that up, Shil, just because he's still a rookie quarterback. So the in-game situation and understanding what he's supposed to do in those situations, he still needs experience in those. I brought up that play because right before the half, he's supposed to throw that ball away sooner than what he did to preserve that field goal, and he almost held on to the ball too long by going through his progressions when really at the first read wasn't there. I'm sure Kyle Shanahan said, throw the ball away, don't get sacked.
No doubt about it, and that was a seven-point game. There, if he doesn't get rid of that ball with 1 second left, that's 3 points. You know, it's an even tighter game. So those situations absolutely matter. And, you know, it's understandable, honestly. The guy is a rookie. Yeah, he hasn't played a lot. And so you can understand what's happening there. But it's still a factor specifically on the road in this environment, which is going to be pretty special, as we know.
All right, Shil, what do you got? What happens on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times you guys have been asking me this for 5 years, and I'll be honest, a lot of times I don't have a great feel for the game, but I say, hey, it's Thursday. I got to pick the game for you guys and for The Ringer. I felt all week pretty good about this Eagles team. I like their matchups at wide receiver against those Niners cornerbacks. I like their matchup with their pass rush against that 49ers offensive line there. What I mentioned about Shanahan being a little conservative with his in-game management, I think that could potentially work in the Eagles' favor. And at the end of the day, this has been a very good team all season long, and you have a rookie quarterback coming into your house. you're playing at home, and you have, what, 21 of 22 starters? Healthy 22 if Avante Maddox plays? I mean, that's unheard of at this stage in the season. So I look at all those things working in the Eagles' favor. Listen, maybe I'll be wrong, but I actually like the Eagles to win this one by double digits. I've got Eagles 26, 49ers 14.
I like that. Before we get you out of here, Shill, Frank Wright got hired today by the Carolina Panthers. Just want to get your thoughts on, or something you may be hearing around the league as far as what's the trickle-down effect here, and how does that affect possibly what, you know, with the Eagles coordinators? Are they still a hot commodity? What does that mean with Frank Wright going to Carolina?
Honestly, I think that surprised me a little bit, but I think Sean Payton is the guy everybody's waiting for. They're saying, is he going to make a decision? Is he just going to stay into TV? Like, that, I thought, was the big domino to fall. Because I think there are teams out there who have interviewed Payton and are wondering, is he going to get back into coaching this year, or is he just asking for the moon and might wait another year here? So maybe with Wright being hired, maybe this weekend we hear there's been some murmurs that maybe Payton's just going to wait a year and see what's open next year. I think once teams get some clarification on that, then you'll see some of these other candidates start to get hired and some of these openings start to get filled.
Shill, appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
We'll talk to you.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Yep.
There he is, Shill Kapadia. Yeah, I mean, I guess. But, like, D'Amico, any coordinators that's going to be in the Super Bowl isn't going to get hired till after the Super Bowl. It'll be, like, kind of assumed it just won't become official.
Well, nobody's leaving their post to go take a job.
Yeah. Right. So it's possible that if one of the coordinators that are in the Super Bowl, which is, you know, I would say likely, gets one of these jobs, then you're going to have to technically wait. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not – if Sean Payton's not taking any of these jobs, then these other teams are going to have to settle on who their next candidate is. And Jonathan Gannon very well may be one of those candidates. Shane Steichen might be one of these candidates.
Yeah, Shill said something very important there pertaining to Sean Payton. He wants control. So if he can't find an organization where he's, I don't know, has final say on personnel and control everything else, then maybe he's like, ah, I don't want to get involved right now. So, and he may be in a rude, he may be in for a rude awakening, because a lot of these organizations aren't giving coaches that type of control anymore. They don't need to. It's working with having a front office that makes certain decisions. You're the coach. You worry about what's on the football field. That's working for a lot of organizations. I'm not sure how many people out there want to give total control over to a head coach.
Well, and a first-round pick on top of it.
Oh, and first-round pick on top of it. I forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah, he's not free.
Yeah.
And you got to pay him. He wants $20 million a year on top of it.
Yeah. Now, if you're the Broncos, I mean, what do you got to lose at this point? They have new ownership.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I don't even know who the GM is in Denver.
It's George Patton.
Yeah, former World War
– yes.
General Patton. Yeah,
he's
General
been around. Patton. Like, he's good in the trenches, they say.
Yeah. Really knows the trenches.
So he was hired as the GM. He hired Hackett, bad hire. Mm-hmm. So are they gonna? Does that mean they're gonna whack him after 1 year? And then, because you're right, Sean Payton's not coming in. Sean Payton's bringing his guy in to work for, right?
Well, that's what he thinks he's doing.
Well, at least that's, like, he'll take a job this year if that's the case. Now, maybe next year, if he wants to get back into coaching, he may have to say okay. Like, if he goes to Houston, there's a GM that's already there that would be. You know, that would, I don't even want to say his boss, but there would be at least an equal power structure there.
Of course, these owners hire GMs as a liaison between them and the head coach. Like, the owner doesn't want to be told what to do by a head coach and what he's going to do. There's, like, owners don't want that anymore, man. Like, they don't want that anymore. So this whole collaborative effort thing, that's why you're seeing more owners involved now. That's why the guy in Indy is firing coaches and benching players.
Yep.
What is this, Chris Ballard? Like, what is he? He's just happy to have a job. He's happy he didn't get fired.
Yep.
So you let Jim Irsay do what he wants to do.
Yep. No, I mean, but, like, because that used to be the it would be like, oh, we need to get this coach. Let's give him full control to keep him or to get him. And that never worked.
Ah. And they're not doing that anymore.
No, they're not. I mean, so you have Belichick, you have Andy Reid. I'm trying to think who else even out there.
Pete Carroll probably. And he has a John Schneider.
He has a GM. Yes. He's not running the entire ship like maybe.
Well, he already has a working relationship.
Right.
So, I mean, I get that Sean Payton wants to bring his own guy in, but that doesn't mean an owner that's there does not like the GM that he has in place already, and now he's going to fire him just to appease you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Denver is a different situation. They seem to be clueless as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what they're doing.
I mean, at this point, you're
I don't know what Denver's
your
doing.
Best and only shot really is to bring in a guy like Sean Payton and say, you know what, if he can fix him and we can, boom, like maybe we have a shot.
Mm-hmm.
That's their best shot. All right, 215-592-9494. As we're now less than 72 hours away, Ike Reese, to the start, the kickoff, to the NFC Championship game, as we sit here on a Thursday, how are we feeling about the game? Have we gotten more anxious? Shiel senses that there's more confidence than he ever remembers in a playoff game this week.
So do I.
Yeah.
I sense the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sense the same thing.
Let's see what the people say. Jay in Lansdale. Hi, Jay.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Jay?
What's up, Jay?
Not much. Hey, Johnny Marks, you are a worrier, dude. You worry enough for like 10, 15 people. Like, the day, as soon as they win on Sunday, on Monday.
I waited till I gave one worry Tuesday, and then we had worry Wednesday yesterday, and I gave some more worries. Yes.
And you're following into Thursday.
Well, I mean, I could do one of two things. I could just say, go Eagles, E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, or I could actually try to talk about the game and some of the things that I'm worried about in the game. Yes, as I did today.
True.
Okay.
True. I'm not worried about this. You know, the 49ers, all they do is dink and dunk. They run the football. They don't throw over the top. They get the yards after the play, which mm-hmm. is, you know, a screen game, and they run the ball right. Like, they try to run the ball down their throat. We do the same thing, but we have the advantage. We can throw over the top. They got a secondary that you can throw over their heads. Like, look what Metcalf did to them. Like, I'm not worried about it. And if A.J. Brown already had a 100-yard game against them last year, I'm not worried about it, because then you have Devontae Smith. Then you have Miles Sanders. I mean, you have a three-headed running back committee. So, I mean, I'm not worried about it. I mean, this game, and you're playing it at home. This game is literally, like, the stadium is going to be off the charts. Like how it was last year in 2017 against the Minnesota Vikings. Like, people heard that 2 miles away. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right, man. Listen, thank you. Then whatever. Like, you do you. I'll do me. I don't think I've been extra worrying today, or like maybe I was last week when Elliot was already proclaiming it the easiest win in history of the playoffs. JB Chestnut Hill. JB, how are you? What's up?
How you doing, my friend? Hi. You taking some heat for your worry here?
I don't know. Whatever. What's up, JB?
What's up, JB?
Cautiously optimistic. Big Ike, how are you, pal?
I'm good, brother. What's happening?
I think like the key to this game, I mean, that's what we're really talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you, especially when you saw that only touchdown in that game against San Fran, is there inside out blocking where, you know, you have two offensive linemen blocking down and you have a guard coming across and kicking out?
Yeah.
Like that's something that Dallas is not big inside on. Like, we're fundamentally gigantic inside with our D tackles. Like, even if they were able to move the ball, and Ike knows what I'm talking about, they could literally go into a root hog system where those two D our tackle just drops down and takes it. It's just a space eater. Mm-hmm. And then what's McCaffrey going to do at that point? He's got a bad calf. I mean, I think the true X factor is really going to be Debo, because he's such a Swiss Army knife.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think what's his name? Dre Greenlaw is going to have a good day against Goddard. And I think Chidarius Ward gets eaten up by AJ. I mean, thoughts on that? Like,
the secondary. Yeah, the 49ers secondary has no chance against this. I think as long as we can protect, as long as we can protect the receivers that we have, we'll eat up the 49ers secondary.
I think you'll probably see some combinations of somebody going out and chipping Bosa just to slow him down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he takes plays off. I mean, the end of that game, he wasn't even in at, you know, against Dak. Obviously, he's a great rusher. He's got 18 sacks or whatever. He's got some number.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if our quarterback stays upright, I think it's a pretty even game. As far as, not to go too far off topic, but I completely disagree with Shiel with the coaching thing. I don't think there's – I think a lot of teams in the NFL learned from that John Gruden mistake
about trading first-round draft picks for coaches.
For coaches, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest kryptonite. Because, look, coaches aren't – they don't count against the cap. So you can write a blank check. You could say, Jimmy Johnson's coming out of retirement. Let's give him $35 million a year. And everyone would be like, great, who cares? But when you're talking about taking draft capital away from a team – especially a team like Denver or another team that needs like
well, and Denver has
yeah, Denver has already given away all their draft picks. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, just like Houston too, they're a mess from Bill O'Brien. So I think that's what it is, and I don't really see Peyton as a domino. I think Peyton was a luxury. He's going to play the game, and I don't think anything's going to happen from it. I think he stays on the sideline unless somebody gets some sort of miraculous deal for him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, If he was a guy that somebody wanted, per se, you've had plenty of time to talk with him, get a feel for what he's looking for. You know New Orleans wants compensation for him. If you really wanted him as an organization, you'd be willing to fork over the compensation. I mean, that's what Tampa did when they fired Tony Dungy. They said, okay, we got to give away 2 first-round picks for John Gruden.
Sounds
yeah,
good.
Yeah, we're willing to do that. We got a team that can win. We just need another coach. So a team will do that. So
and they can also do it with the checkbook too, right? Like we know that they need to you need to give them a high pick, a first-round draft pick. But also if he's kind of like, well, I don't know if I want to come there, how about $25 million a year?
Well, like, that's just stupid.
Well, but with John Gruden, the Raiders gave him, and now it seems like peanuts, but the Raiders gave him a 10-year contract or whatever because that's what they needed to do to get him out of the booth mm-hmm. and to get him to be their head coach. Now, it didn't exactly
work out for
him.
Which was also a mistake, yes. Yeah, which was also a mistake.
But it's another point of this is why not a lot of NFL teams are doing it these days.
Yeah. I just don't think a coach has that great of an impact. I just don't. I mean, as a matter of fact, Sean Payton's trying to do exactly what John Gruden did, which was John Gruden brought his own GM
yep.
who really just did what John Gruden told him to do. No offense to Mike Mayock, but John Gruden was the boss. He had a $100 million contract. He's the only one who had the job yep. security for 10 years. So he hired someone that would do what he wanted. That's what Sean Payton wants to do. And so it didn't work, so I don't see why an owner would jump at that opportunity to do that with Sean Payton.
Yeah, Chip hired Ed Manowich to come in and be his.
But that was only a 3-year deal. That wasn't
no,
a
I
5-year deal.
But the point of it is that he brought in his guy when he yeah. wanted control, and that's when he went. That's when they went downhill. That's when they crapped out.
Yeah.
Hasn't worked out a lot. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese. Yesterday we brushed off the 49ers injury report, but what about today? We'll give you the latest on 49ers injuries.
Yeah, nobody's playing Sunday.
They got to sign guys off the practice
squad.
Funny,
that line hasn't moved yet, has it?
2.5
yeah,
exactly, when I checked before.
Yeah, that line ain't moved yet.
We'll discuss it on the other side.
Yeah, that line ain't moved yet.
Marks and Reese on 94 WAP. Hey, listen, even a wager that misses can still be a slam dunk with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just place an NBA one-game parlay wager with 4 legs or more, and if you miss one leg, you'll receive up to $25 back. Just opt into the promotion on BetMGM's app or website. With one-game parlay, you can make selections within a single NBA game, including team and player props. So go ahead, take your favorite NBA star to score big, the home team to cover, and the over in points. Just opt into the promotion, then place an NBA one-game parlay wager of 4 legs or more, and you'll get up to $25 back if you miss one leg. BetMGM.
We know it's going to be loud, but no stadium is as loud as ours. But at the end of the day, you know, they're at home, NFC Championship, they're going to be all riled up. And, you know, we don't really feed into all that. You know, we put the pads on and just go to work.
Bill, Debo, Debo Samuel.
Yeah, Debo. Sounds easy.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see.
So their stadium sucks. I mean, it never gets loud there.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, he's
San Francisco.
I mean, Kevin Franzen's a season ticket holder. And he's like, I mean, first of all, he's been there for what, a decade now? Or at least 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
probably,
like,
yeah.
We don't even have an identity there yet.
Right.
The link came out with a little bit of an identity.
Well, and I think, I could be wrong, somebody will correct me. Did they, oh no, that was the other way around. That was Golden State built their arena in San Francisco.
The Niners are in like Santa Clara.
Yeah, yeah. They're a drive out there. Didn't they? Wasn't it like?
Well, I knew it wasn't where Old Candlestick was at. I knew it wasn't there.
Right. No, it's. Yeah. I don't know how far Santa Clara is from where Candlestick was, but it's. I mean, not significant, but it's, you know, not like a 10 or 15 minute drive. I don't think.
Well, they don't have any other teams there, so it's not like they can't make the drive.
Sure. Oh yeah, no, especially for 8 or 9 games a year, or then preseason games. No, it's almost like whatever.
Just,
it's fine.
Lost the Raiders. You got nothing but the 49ers out there.
Didn't they at their stadium? Wasn't there like a thing where it was so sunny on like half of the field or something like that early on in the tenure? I just remember there were not rave reviews about their stadium out there. Anyway, so Ike, the injury report's out for the Niners. Mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan says Christian McCaffrey, calf. Eliza Mitchell, groin. Won't practice again today. Debo has an ankle. And Charles Omenihue has an oblique. He is going to play. There was a domestic violence thing that happened here. Was it set Monday, I guess? Sunday or Monday? Mm-hmm. So he's going to be limited with an oblique. But two won't practice, and those other guys will be limited. So, it's Thursday. Is this something that's to you?
Nah, it means nothing. They'll both be playing Sunday. All of them.
Right. I mean, at the very least, they're not. They're going to play.
Or nobody's 100% healthy. Right. Yeah, I mean, they're going to play Sunday.
Yeah.
We'll see how healthy they are Sunday, but they didn't leave the game early this past Sunday. They didn't leave the game. Christian McCaffrey has been dealing with a calf injury. So this is just maintenance, I believe, to where he's not practicing. So you just don't put extra stress on it. You're giving him extra days of rest. You already know what Christian McCaffrey can do.
He doesn't need to be out there.
No. And neither does Debo. Debo had an ankle injury for, 8 weeks, I believe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yep.
So that's just extra rest. That's all that is, so that you're fresher on Sunday.
Right. Jack, you think it's more than that? It seems like that you're not buying it.
Well, not really. Maybe they are a little banged up heading into Sunday, and they're not as
– I believe they are banged up, but they're going to play.
They're
going to
play,
the point.
But maybe they're not – maybe they're 80% instead of 90% or whatever, and it gives a little bit of advantage.
That's fine.
McCaffrey's always banged up.
Listen, I'm not telling you they're not banged up. I'm just saying you're going to drive yourself crazy trying to – you're not a doctor. You're not examining them, so you don't know how healthy or injured they are. Nobody does, but San Francisco. The point is they're going to play Sunday. If there was a chance they may not play, then I would find it worthy
news. Yeah, yeah.
They're going to play Sunday.
Not a game-time decision, a 100%.
They're going to play Sunday. There you go. They'll play Sunday.
All right. Well, Jack was busy today because he was.
All you gotta do is watch the line. The line will tell you whether or not the guys are playing Sunday.
Right. Just like Pat Mahomes
exactly.
No, he's fine. He's gonna play.
Exactly.
Now they're favorites.
Exactly.
That line's crazy. It went to the Bengals were 2.5 when it looked like, man, I don't know how
healthy
he's gonna be. Because
they assumed he was gonna be injured and more injured than what they thought he was. And the guys out there at practice yesterday, I'm shocked by that.
Full practice.
So shocked to the point where I'm leaning Kansas City.
Yeah, it totally changes the way you think about the game.
He's playing.
Yep.
He's
and he may not be limited all that much.
Not only is he playing, he's not walking around in a boot or on crutches right now. He practiced. They're not resting him all week.
No,
he just had a high ankle sprain.
I heard someone say that when he left the podium, people were kind of looking, like, see him walking up and leaving. You wouldn't have known he was injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're getting almost 100%. Pat Mahomes was totally changing.
You certainly aren't getting somebody who is going to be some statue back there that you're going to take advantage of.
Yep. Yep.
So, I don't know, but that game is going to be tight like it should be. I mean, it should be a good game. You don't want to see Patrick Mahomes injured and he can't play. And it gives an easy road for the Bengals to get to the Super Bowl. So, you know, Patrick Mahomes is a great player. I like to see great players play.
Yep.
So, he's going to play Sunday.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's Chiefs are a point favorite.
Man, I don't want to see Chad Henne out there playing Sunday.
No. It's the last thing you want to see. Jack, you like Kansas City in the game on Thursday?
Yeah, I think there's a little too much Bengals thirst.
Mm-hmm.
There's some Bengals thirst right now.
Justified.
Part of it is they just beat a pretty damn good football team, and then the quarterback was injured for the team they're supposed to play.
Exactly. So I think it went swung too far one direction, and I think it comes back, Chiefs win.
Well, the line is already swung.
And if you like the Chiefs, take them now before it goes up another point or two, which could happen before kickoff. Twitter questions today brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're getting engaged, the place to go is Mark's Jewelers, the home team. Best selection of diamond engagement rings to fit every budget. Visit marks-jewelers.com. Jack was a guest we'll get right to the phone. Jack was a guest. Where were you a guest today?
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, see that?
They called the New York City of the Southwest.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's huge. Yep, big market.
I didn't know that. So Jack was, they were asking you your Eagles takes?
Uh-huh.
How long of an interview was it?
I think it was like 15 to 20 minutes.
So they went the long.
Yeah, when you get a big guest like this, you usually extend that hour a little bit longer. Yep.
There you go.
I tried to make a joke before I came on, and then like
fell flat.
Completely fell flat, and that's always a good way to start off a conversation.
What was the joke?
Well, no, so one of my favorite artists is from Oklahoma, Zach Bryan, and I was listening to him on my drive in today, and I was like, oh, it's kind of funny. He's from Tulsa. I thought they'd be like, ha ha, that's our guy, and then they're like, so what about the Eagles? I was like, well, this is awkward.
So were you talking the nuts and bolts old sports radio guy that probably didn't know who Zach Bryan was?
Probably, if I had to guess, yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, well, you'll know next time when you're they
no
bring you back.
No jokes allowed, yes.
Yeah, when they bring you back before the Super Bowl. There you go. And, of course, Ike's very busy with interview requests and things like that. So before a big football game, people want to talk to Ike Reese.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to D. D is in Glassboro, New Jersey. Hi, D.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Reese. Hi, Dax. How you guys doing?
What is up, D?
Hey, D.
I'm doing good. I'm feeling good about this game. A couple different reasons. Like, I don't feel like our defensive line is getting the respect that they really have earned this whole season. Like, they have 68 sacks on the season. There's four guys with over 10 sacks each. I don't think that Purdy is ready to be harassed as much as he is going to be. And I feel like our secondary, like, they're all just going to be there to pick it off.
So you're defensively, you're feeling really good about this game, Dee.
Defensively, I'm feeling very good. I'm also feeling very good about A.J. Brown because he's bitter. Not because he wasn't getting the ball thrown to him, because he wasn't getting open.
Ah. You don't think he was getting open Saturday night?
I thought he was actually being defended fairly well.
Okay.
So, you know, I feel like he thinks he could have done his job better to get open, to get the ball.
Oh, so you think it's more of a frustration at himself
himself.
Okay, I got you now. I got you.
Yeah, that's what I'm – and I feel like he's going to use that as motivation. Also, he's already done it. He has a history with that team of being able to produce. I'm feeling pretty good. Do I still think it's going to be a close game? Absolutely. But I also feel like Jalen, as I have said before, is always going to do enough to win.
Right. Yeah.
He's just going to pull it out.
Yeah, I tell you what, there is something to having that comfort of knowing your guy, if called upon, you believe he'll have the ability to do it. This is an honest question. I'm just thinking off the top of my head with Jalen. the Indy game, I think the Arizona game was close enough. That was a close game to where, you know, that final drive where he went down and put points on the board mattered. That was a close game. I'm just trying to think of close games we've had this year to where you can get somewhat of an idea how he's going to perform if the game is close in the fourth quarter and that sort of thing. So the two that I can think of is the Arizona game and the Indianapolis Colts game. And I just remember some of the throws in that game that he made that weren't necessarily routine throws, or the runs that he had in the Indianapolis game where he decided nobody's open, I got to take off and do this on my own. Like, the two times that I could think of offhand that he had those circumstances where he needed to be the guy late in the game, he's come through.
Yeah.
He's come through. So we haven't lost a game where it's like, oh man, we had the ball late and Jalen couldn't come through for us late in the game. Like, he didn't lead us on a game winning drive, right? We used to say that I think the year before we had a few of those games where we lost some close games where he was still developing. But this year, no.
Yeah, the Chargers game comes to mind where they lost
last
the game.
Year, yeah.
They lost the game, but he drove the Eagles down. And didn't he do like a jack? Didn't he get hit? And he did like a flip in the air or something by the sideline.
Oh, yeah, something like that.
But he drove them down, and they took the lead, and they ended up losing the game because there was still, I forget how much time left in there. But I remember coming away from that game being like, that was a really clutch drive, right? Like, they needed to go down and score a touchdown, and he kind of in my memory, it reminded me of the Indianapolis where he was more or less like, hey, listen, if I got to do this with my legs, I'm going to do it with my legs. And he got it done. But you're right. Like, other than that, I was just looking at all the games this year. He scored with about 3 minutes to go in the Arizona game, and they were behind going into that. We know that they came from two possessions back from Indianapolis. But other than that, games were pretty much decided going into the fourth quarter. There might have been spots where they needed another score to put them away, but there was no, hey, you're behind, here's the ball, you got 3 minutes to go, go down and score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Other than those two spots right there. Yeah, they scored 14 points in the fourth against the Colts. And so I guess that was the most impressive come behind, only those two instances this year that they did it. So if they need them to do it in this game, Kenny. Rios, North Philly. Rios, go ahead.
What's going on, Hard Chargers?
Rios!
What's up, Rios?
Yo, what's up, guys? Look, check it out. Y'all know I'm not, you know, one of them. I'm not like an everyday caller type of guy, but y'all already know what time it is with what's going on for this week or whatever the situation is. And I'm not ready to just hear about these damn Sixers. So, you know what I mean? I don't care about that. I'm not ready about that. I'm like, no, hell no. So, look. This is my thoughts.
That was a good win last night, though, Rios. Come on. That was a good win.
Oh, look, let me tell you something, man. It was a good win last night. Oh, Joel Embiid should have done better. I see how everything was going. But, look, at the end of the day, man, these guys got to – I can't really get hyped up until, like, the damn second pass, the second round, whatever it is. And look, there was no defense yesterday. How you score 40 points almost in each damn quarter? Like – Man, that stuff.
That's sucker
free.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's sucker defense. Yep.
Yeah, sucker defense. And when Ben Simmons is in town, you gotta. You gotta destroy him. You gotta do. And man, look, I could tell you the nasty stuff I used to do when I played basketball, bro. Don't go up for a rebound. But anyway, look, man. Yeah, because I got a mindset. Just let me say this real quick. I always had a mindset that I was Charles Barkley when I was playing basketball, and I always had a mindset when I played football that I was a wide receiver. Coaches always wanted me to make me a running back. I didn't have a running back mind. Coaches wanted to make me a guard. Yeah, I could shoot, but they used to get pissed when I was under the court. But anyway, that's another story. I'm a boxer. That's what I do. But look, this is my thoughts right now before I blow a gasket tomorrow since I haven't gotten no sleep. But anyway, players, I believe they're ready. I believe they're ready. They're going to be ready with themselves and ready for this game. One thing I'm believing is, look, this is a coaching game. Right now, the coaches do what they got to do. The coaches know, look, all y'all got to do is what the high percentage is what y'all best at in offense and defense. Do that. Now, with the players who got a lot of mouth, who talk about themselves, let me just go with Darius. Look, man. We need you. At the end of the day, we need you. If you said, look, you're a captain for the first time. If man. Ain't nothing like having the keys to the city in Philadelphia. Ain't not like that. Look, hey, gentlemen, I told my mom this, and my mom already know. If Nick Foles come in at 3 o'clock in the morning and knock on my mom's door, I told my mom, hey, cook some breakfast, mom.
Got a 10-inch.
Worried where you were going.
Out.
With that one, Rios. We all looked up and
out.
Had the same reaction.
I think he called himself is what I think he called himself. If Nick Foles is knocking on your door at 3 in the morning, fixing some breakfast.
I need to see the package.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah. Were you talking about making bacon and eggs, yeah. Rios?
One
sir?
Way of putting it.
Yeah.
Appreciate the dedication, yeah. Rios.
Can't we just say he's never got to buy a beer here? You know, why is that? Come over to the house at 4 in the morning and did, like it's a diner.
Or something else.
He's making booty calls at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, listen.
Moms, man.
Yep. Right from the bar.
And Rios offered her up, man. What's up with that?
That's unbelievable. Come on, Mr. Mom. So, Jack, I'm looking at the guy you went on with in Tulsa. He's at least 75 years old.
Well, I think that's the coach. That's the old Oklahoma State head coach.
Is that who you went on with?
No. Nah, well, he wasn't there yet, apparently.
Football or basketball?
Football, yeah.
Pat Jones?
Yeah, Pat Jones. He's behind they had a dude. It was like a 45-second intro of just Pat Jones. Meanwhile, the co-host is the only one doing the show. But he the second most wins in Oklahoma State history.
So, hold on. So
Mike Gundy?
Yeah, behind Mike Gundy, yep.
So – really? So the intro said. I mean, was it being sarcastic?
No, it was setting up the show. Yeah,
I was like, oh man, I got to listen to this show.
I think we might need to start doing that for Marks and Reeves.
So you talked with
a one-time Pro Bowler. I think it's a good idea.
And the pride of
Upper
Moreland.
Whatever happened to
Grace? Were you on with Eric Gee?
Yes, Eric Gee. Yeah.
Eric Gee.
Yeah.
How's it look?
He looks like he hosts in Tulsa, Oklahoma from 10 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday. Not a bad thing. Not necessarily a bad thing.
Not from out in that area.
Yeah, for sure.
It's good Tulsa sports talk.
I can imagine it's fantastic. Jack's on for 15 minutes talking about were they asking about other sports or Matt Rule?
No, strictly birds, man.
Wow.
No, I was going to make they're talking Thunder, I guess. That was one of the returns.
Oh,
you had some thoughts on OKC.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure you had some thoughts on
that. Is Josh Giddey getting me a triple-double tonight?
Jack, why don't you just go on and start doing your show? Forget about Eric Gee.
No, I know. Just start giving out takes.
Yep.
SGA's, he's a great young player. Yep.
I'm sure you have better opinions than
we'll get hot. Yeah, Thunder, we'll talk Russell Westbrook. Is he going in the Hall of Fame as a
retire's number? Yeah,
you're going to retire his number?
They probably will.
You would. So do they like Russ there? Or they? I guess they would, right?
They should.
Yeah, yeah. Russ wanted to stay there. They traded Russ.
Right.
Russ didn't force his way out.
Jack comes on and says they shouldn't retire his number and he's overrated. And that would get a rise out of people. All right, Jimmy's in Philly. Jimmy, how are you, buddy? What's going on?
What's up, guys? Been listening for a while. I just want to say, man, I'm so confident now. I'm more confident this week. I think one thing people don't want to talk about is Hoosier, man. He's a natural born leader. I think he's got the whole squad ready, calm, just focusing on their fundamentals. And he keeps emphasizing hunger. You don't hear a lot of these other teams talk about being hungry. They're just like, yeah, we're doing what we got to do, yada yada. This team is so hungry. Like, all they want is to bring it back to Philly, and they're not going to stop until, it comes back. And back, talking about the A.J. Brown thing, man, let them think that it's going to go to him. They're not going to force it to him. We got way too many options. We got way too many people. And, just let the game play out.
Yeah, I think that's the way you go about doing it. And I think A.J. hopefully understands that. And ultimately – his goal should be to get in the Super Bowl, like to win a championship, to have that ring associated with his name, right? He played in the AFC Championship game a couple years ago against Kansas City. I think he was in that game, right? Was he in that game against Kansas City a few years ago?
Would have had to be, right?
Yeah, Tennessee, unless he came the next year. That was the year, I believe,
18?
Kansas City won the Super Bowl that year, I think. Remember, they had to come back. They were down 20-0 or something like that, two straight weeks Houston first,
yes,
and then
Houston,
it was Tennessee.
Yes.
I think it was Tennessee, and that was the year Tennessee went to New England. That was Brady's last year in New England. Tennessee beat New England.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went to Baltimore, beat Lamar, MVP, and then they lost to Kansas City.
Yeah, and then Houston was the AFC Championship game. I'm pretty sure.
I think Tennessee was.
They were. They were, because he played in three playoff games in 2019.
Yeah, I think Houston was that divisional round.
Yeah, they lost to Kansas City 35-24.
Yeah, and they were winning that game.
His rookie year, they were. No, it was back to back.
It was like 21-0. Yeah,
and quick, and they turned it around quick.
Yeah, so that was his rookie year.
Yeah, he had three catches for 51 yards in that game. And then last year they were number one seed, but they lost first game in the divisional round to Cincy, which was a close game as well. He had a good game. Five catches, 142, and a touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, the outside corners are the weak spot of that defense. So you better believe the Eagles know that. Like, the Eagles know that. So A.J.'s going to get – I would say this. Anytime touchdown, A.J. Brown is a pretty good bet this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good bet this week.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing about the Giants game is that Jalen didn't really throw the ball outside of the first couple drives.
Last week.
It's not like that Devontae had 185 yards and Quez Watkins had seven targets or whatever.
Yeah.
So
we're going A.J. Brown anytime touchdown. Lock that in.
Yeah, lock that in.
We're going Jalen over 50 yards rushing and a touchdown.
Yep.
Parlaying that all together. And we're taking Eagles money line. That's your parlay for Sunday.
How many legs is it?
That's four legs.
I love it.
We don't need to get too wild. That's the Jack Fritz official parlay of the day.
I'm going to stay off the Jalen Hurts 50 yards rushing.
Dude, he's going to
have 100.
I'm going with the anytime touchdown, though.
He's their only rushing attack that's going to work on Sunday.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
Oh.
Listen, if Mariota's gone for 70.
I hear you there.
So do the Niners take away the running backs and say, Jalen, if you're going to run, you're going to have to do it?
Boston Scott's odds are back up to plus like 800 for an anytime touchdown. Yeah, this is a Hurts in the ground game and throwing game. This is an MVP game.
This is a Hurts game.
It is. Mm. I heard Joe talking about that last night. And
he's putting it all on Jalen.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not putting it all on Jalen, but I understood what he was saying. Like, it is about the quarterback. It just is.
If people are talking you up that you're getting robbed from the MVP, all right, well, this is a game where you can show people that you got robbed for the MVP.
It's true.
Going up against Brock Purdy. This isn't Joe Montana or Steve Young you're going up against.
I didn't like the fact that Joe was hard on my guy Five, but, you know, sometimes the truth hurts when you're talking about not coming up against certain teams. Now, you know, I've always said we didn't come up big against those teams. But his point was, when the other areas of the team aren't playing well, if you have an elite quarterback, that guy has to be the guy that gets you over the top.
Right.
And there is something to that. There is something to that. It's the only way the Bengals got to the Super Bowl last year.
Yep.
When the Chiefs has gone to the Super Bowl, it wasn't their defense that carried them there. It was Pat Mahomes having to do what he did that got them to the Super Bowl. We know what Brady has done for quarterbacks. When you look at the great ones who haven't made it there, they usually don't play well in that game.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers.
Right? Yeah, a couple of times.
Yeah. So it is about that quarterback position playing well in that game. The one thing that we couldn't say before we go to break, one thing I can't say in defense of my brother, Five, we didn't lose a championship game where he played like he played in the regular season at an elite level. We didn't lose a championship game where he played that way.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, it really was a total team loss. All right, 215-592-9494.
By the way, 10 to win 142 on that parlay.
Oh, I like that.
How about 100 to win 1,400?
He's already checked it. Yeah, no, we don't bet hundreds.
I know, I wouldn't either.
Made of money over here.
Yeah. We go 10, 15 at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, 100 does win you 14.
Yeah. For you big spenders out there.
Listen, if you think it's a lock, do it.
Well.
That's what OG Wade is out there doing, man. That's how his
I
thought about that today. We haven't heard a lot of OG Wade giving his parlays on the air recently.
The
parlay dried up.
Yeah, it's about time his 30-leg parlay stopped hitting.
Dude, it's been months since Wade's been talking about his parlays.
Everybody goes through a cold streak.
Listen.
They're really starting to go after Ike Reese now.
Coming up, could Sunday be the last game for two Eagle greats? They gave their answers on possible retirement earlier today. You'll hear that coming up right after this. Back to your phones as well. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Hey, listen, if cold weather has you thinking it's finally time to replace those old drafty windows and doors, then there's absolutely positively no better time than right now to make your home more energy efficient while taking advantage of Guida's big winter sales event, because my good friends at Guida Door and Window are extending their big winter sale through the month of January by offering 40% off every window and door that you buy. And let's face it, right? I've had a couple windows replaced in my home because I more or less had to, right? And I've had a door by Guida. And I'm glad I did, because they're great products. But like, now we made the decision that we have to do the whole house, right? Like, windows are old. The windows need to be replaced. Our energy bills are through the roof. So if you're in the same position as me, this is the time to do it, because you're getting 40% off every window and door that you buy. And I'm talking about great windows, energy efficient replacement windows, expertly installed. It also includes free high performance low E glass. And if you need a new door, 40% off any door. That includes insulated entry doors, sliding patio doors, garage doors, and storm doors. And here's what I did. All right. 12-month interest-free financing. They also have low monthly payment plans to get your project started with no money out of pocket. So I'm not paying interest. I'm going to pay this off for over a year. That's the way to do it. Call the experts at Guida today to schedule a free in-home estimate. 877-GO-GUIDA. That's 877-GO-GUIDA, or visit them at goguida.com. That's goguida.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.